Today's mailbag comes from Dana. I couldn't skip the Sunday basket today because it was crammed so full. But let me tell you, putting a lot of stuff in that Sapphire New Year basket was so freeing. Knowing that I don't have to look at it every week in December and can focus on decorating, shopping, family time, and only the paperwork that I need to address. In this season of stress, the New Year basket just took a big chunk of it away.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
The news that Marie Kondo's house was disorganized spread faster than any other news I have experienced in my entire lifetime. I mean, the second that Marie said her home was no longer perfectly organized, the world knew it. Now, partly she has a great PR team. Like, let's be clear. If you do not realize that this was an entire PR stunt, then I've got some land to sell you. This was a well-orchestrated marketing PR blitz. The fact that you first heard that Marie was giving up on her perfect organization because she had three kids, somehow on social media on Friday, and it was the news story on the Today Show on Sunday, did not happen by accident. So just you know, sometimes we have to pay attention to who's behind the curtain and pulling all of the strings. Marie Kondo is a worldwide sensation. She did such a great job of marketing her book, and she purposely set out to market her book. Like, if you read, she purposely set out to write a book that would be a worldwide bestseller. And hats off to her. Like, she's an amazing businesswoman and a really good organizer. Like, she's great. And we are so excited because now we finally feel like the perfect person who had the perfect house has admitted that perfection does not exist. So we feel better about our own house. But I want to dive a little bit deeper into why we feel so great about this. And I want to say, back when I did my Marie Kondo episode, we'll find it and we'll put it in the show notes. It was, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. Marie Kondo raised to the everyday conversation level, the story about an organized home. And I will forever be grateful to her about it. And I remember back in that episode, I said two things. I said, number one, minimalism is not the only way to organize your house. It is a way to organize your house. And the way that it was presented is it was the only way to organize your house. And number two, Americans have a lot of stuff. And apparently, Japanese families with three children have more stuff as well. I hate to burst your bubble, but I guarantee Marie's home really isn't disorganized. I mean, it's just, let's face it, we know it's not. It's not. What she means is she does not have a perfectly organized house all of the time. I remember when I first read Marie's first book, and I can't remember the title of it. Anyway, one of the things that she did was every single day when she got home, she took everything out of her purse and put her purse in a bag and put it in her drawer. And I was like, on what planet do you have time to take everything out of your purse? Like, I've been an organized person and I've been an unorganized person. And in no phase have I ever undone my purse because it's just, you know, I don't have that kind of time. And Marie never organized paper because Japan is a paperless society. It is an actual paperless society. They don't have physical birth certificates. They just don't have some of the paper that we have in America because it's a different economy. It's a different governmental system. It's just different. So when we hear that one person is disorganized, Marie Kondo is on center stage right now. This has happened in your life in both directions before. You have been the organized person and you have been the disorganized person in the story. So the story goes like this. You're with your family or you're with your friends and you observe someone in this circle is highly organized. And by organized, you mean that all of their stuff is put away and they know where to put it away. Like that's the definition of organization that I go with. Now, the truth is, there are many people, when you walk in their house, it looks great and it looks like everything is put away. And that person does not feel organized. I mean, yes, everything they have is put away, but it's just not, they don't feel organized. They don't feel like this organizational system, or it's not intuitive. Like everything's put away, but it just doesn't feel right. And there are other times when you can walk into people's homes and you're like, oh my goodness, at what time did the bomb go off? Because it looks like it was an hour ago. And that person feels totally organized. They actually know where everything is and they feel great. So number one, let's talk about what is organization actually? And can you observe organization? Like to an extent. Think about if you've ever worked in an office or if you've ever worked with other people. Sometimes you'll see a desk or you'll work with someone who has so much going on and you're like, oh my gosh, it's total chaos over there. But whenever you ask that person for something, they have it for you within 5 minutes. And then you could go in someone else's office and it looks like they just moved in and this is their first job, but they've been there for 15 years. Like it's uber organized. Whenever you ask them for something, you have to ask them 10 times in order to get whatever it is. Because organization is not necessarily based on your outward order. So if organization is not what things look like, then how do we know when we're organized, or how can we declare when we're Marie that we're no longer organized? And it's when your internal and your external order are not matching for you personally. Now, let's take a little detour into minimalism. I'm not a minimalist. I've never been a minimalist. For half a second, I tried to be more of a minimalist. And if you really listen to Marie Kondo, she says that you should keep what sparks joy. She doesn't actually say you need to be a minimalist. But I, you know, took it as you need to be a minimalist. And so back in 2011, 2012, when I finally was like, I am drawing a line in the sand. I am going to right my ship. I am going to get organized because I don't feel organized and I don't look organized. And I am continuing to spiral out of control. Like I can't go into year 8 of spiraling out of control. And what many of us do when we're finally going to get organized is we overcorrect. So instead of just decluttering what we need to declutter, we declutter more than we need to declutter because we are trying to gain order from reducing the sheer volume of stuff that we see, because we're overwhelmed by what we see. And I was completely guilty of this. I over-decluttered my house in 2012. And the reason I know that, the one category that I regret decluttering to this day, and there's only one category, is books. I am a lifelong learner. When I graduated from college in 4 years, I had 2 degrees and a minor. Like, I love learning. I had all of these books that I used for so many different things, for educating my kids and for homeopathy and for Bible studies. And like, when I was decluttering, I had a bookshelf in every single room of our house. If I think back, I had 2 in our storage room. I had 2 in the downstairs family room, like in the basement. I had bookshelves in our actual family room upstairs. I had bookshelves in our living room. I had bookshelves in our loft. I had bookshelves in my bedroom. I had bookshelves in each of the kids' rooms. And I know I had over 2,000 children's books because I had been a preschool teacher and I had spent money on 5 years of teaching salary and when my kids were young, building up this amazing preschool library. I kept none of them. I don't have any homeopathy books. I don't have any of the pleasure books that I read. I had a couple series of books. I got rid of those series of books. I had got rid of every single child's book except 12 books from Greg's of my childhood. I have those still. I kept 3 board books from when my kids were little. I got rid of everything. I kept our Bibles, not all of them though, and I kept the Bible studies that I actually had written in, and not even all my Bible studies, and I regret it. I had too many books, obviously. All those bookshelves were full. Like, that's a lot of books. But when you are in the Productive Home Solution and you go into the videos for the living room and you see my bookshelf now that has like 3 full shelves of books, all those books were purchased and read in the last 5 years. And they're all highlighted and they're all read. I think I have 3 books on my bookshelf that are not completely read, and it's because they're almanacs. Like, it's going to take me a lifetime to read them. When I buy a book, I'm ready to read it. And when I read it, it is for a purpose. Like, I don't really read nonfiction anymore just because I have so many. I mean, I don't really read fiction anymore because I have so many nonfiction interests that I want to learn more about. And the current bookshelf that you can look at in my living room is basically how I gave myself an MBA and I run my business. Like, I learned how to run business through books and podcasts and a couple of coaches. I have 0 business training. 0. But I have studied predominantly female-owned businesses as far back as 80 years ago. And if I can find a female business owner's book, I read it. And it's amazing what they'll share in those books that they don't realize they're sharing that I then could piece together in how to grow my business. And so I regret having decluttered my books. And I realize I had a ridiculous amount, but also I love touring old homes. And by old homes, I mean like centuries old, like presidential homes. And in Akron, Ohio, there's this home, Stan Hewitt, and that was one of the tire magnates' homes that he had built. And he had it built in the early 1900s, but he had it built to look like it was built in the 16, 1700s. And there's a library there. Like, there's a whole room that is a library, floor to ceiling, and the ceilings are like, you know, more than 2 stories high. Library, bookshelves on every single wall with one of those ladders that you can scroll down the wall so you can climb really high up to get a book. And let me just tell you, all those books were read. I know they were, like, because that is how information was learned back then. Like, it was all about books. It is not an accident we know absolutely everything about Benjamin Franklin, who fascinates me. But it's because he was a printer and he was a writer and he wrote everything down. I guarantee there were many, many other people during that time that had great ideas, but they didn't write them down. So they haven't stood the test of time and they weren't in book form. Books are amazing. Like, books are amazing. And I do regret not having all of my books. Greg is not completely on board with having a library in our house. And even if I took one of the upstairs little bedrooms and turned it into a library, it would only last me like 5 years. Like, I need like a giant library. And I have hundreds and hundreds of Audible books. But as soon as I like an Audible book and has enough meat in it, I immediately order the paper book. And then I highlight in the paper book whatever I really liked in the Audible book because it's so much easier and faster to flip through and find information in a paper book. So I figured out how to turn one of our closets into a library for my PhD because I know I'm going to need a lot of books in order to do the PhD. So that is a category for me. Like, I've gone really deep into this because you have something like books. I don't know what it is, but you have something like, if you get rid of one, you're like, you feel like you've lost a limb. It's part of you. It's who you are. The other unusual thing about me and my house that I have just kind of embraced, and if you look at any of the videos when I'm in my house, or if you're in the Productive Home Solution, like, it's every other video. When you look at how my house is decorated, like, my house looks fine. It looks fine. If I were to put it on the market, I would have to take every single, you know how they say you have to make your house look like anybody could live in it? Every room, I'd have to take every single picture off the wall, because on the wall are collages of pictures. I have hundreds of scrapbooks and every single wall is a scrapbook. Like, our back hall, when you're in the Productive Home Solution and I show you how to make a drop zone in your back hall, There are 5 collages back there, and we're not talking like little collages. These frames are 3 feet by 5 feet. There are 5 3 feet by 5 foot frames in my back hall full of pictures. My home office, when I'm sitting at my desk, I look at a wall collage I made out of frames of things that I framed that are experiences I've had or this shadow box I have of my dad. And if you are watching me in my home office and you see from the camera looking behind me, there are 3 more collages on the wall. Like, it's probably overkill. In the nursery upstairs, 2 more collages. It's like the bookshelves in the family room, 50% photos. It's just everywhere. And Greg and I love it. Love it. Whenever I put a new collage up, Greg's like, oh my gosh, I love it. So I had made this collage for Greg of like sports memorabilia he had. So he has a couple of signatures on just like random scraps of paper that were in a box. And he had a signed ticket stub. And I had put this collage together and I put it in a home office he had for like a day. And then the room became something else. I put it back in the storage room. And I didn't really have a room to put it in. So I put it in our bathroom, in our primary bathroom upstairs by our bedroom. And I was like, well, this is either, he's either going to come out of the bathroom and be like, what are you doing? Or he's going to say, great, thanks. So he comes out of the bathroom and he's like, this is great. I knew it. I knew it. I told you that when I moved to Ohio, my stepfather took me to the freezer bowl, which is when the Bengals played. It was like negative a million degrees at the stadium. Greg's mom had bought him electric socks. The electric socks stopped working. They had a Bunsen burner, which clearly is no longer safe in a stadium, but apparently it was back in, you know, when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. He's like, I was there. It's on the ticket stub that you put in my bathroom. He's so thrilled. This is not normal behavior. We are scrapbooking people. We like to save the memories of the experiences we've had and the people we've had the experiences with. I will find Greg in our back hallway staring at the collages on a regular basis. We love it. You don't have to. I know it's not normal. We love our house and we love how we've decorated it and we love what we have saved. And that is what I want for you. I want you to love your house. It is work. We know it's work. So when you leave one job and you walk in your house for your next job, I want you to love the environment you're doing it in. I want you to love the stuff that you are maintaining and dusting and upkeeping and insuring and cleaning. I want you to love your house. So over the years, I would say I've become much more minimalist in this way, in that everything I have, I love and I want. There is nothing left in my house where if you said, I will pay you and you have to be able to fill 10 boxes, I probably couldn't do it because I declutter on such a regular basis, you know, a couple of things here, a couple of things there. I could maybe fill up a box because there's always things that you can get rid of. But for the most part, I love everything that's left in my house. And yet you would not call me a minimalist. Like from the purest definition of minimalist, I definitely qualify because everything I have, I love and I want to keep. But from the aesthetic of a minimalist, I definitely am not a minimalist. Not that minimalists can't have books and can't have framed pieces. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there is an aesthetic to a minimalist home and it is definitely not mine. When you think of a minimalist home, you do not think of my home. I'm somewhere between what you would view a minimalist home and what you would view a hoarding home is. And that's where we all are. None of us are a pure minimalist and none of us are a pure hoarder. We're somewhere in the middle. But we don't know how to define that. There's no like normal home category. But that's what we all are. Like we're the normal home. And so that's the first thing I want you to really recognize is that your home is to serve you and nobody's going to see it, really. Like a handful of people, maybe. If you have a party, more people once. How often do you really have people in your home? For me, it's my mother-in-law and like one friend. And I can't even think of the last time we had more than just those people in our house. Occasionally, other family members come by. Occasionally somebody from work might stop by to pick something up. I don't throw parties. I'm not a big entertainer. I'm like, when really? Like, I don't have people at my house. Not that I don't want to have people at my house. It's just I'm busy doing other things and I see them other places and I'm not really an entertainer. Like, are you? So who in the heck are we trying to please? Who are we trying to impress? They aren't even coming to our house. We should be impressing ourselves. We should be pleasing ourselves. And it shouldn't even really matter what's happening in Marie Kondo's home. And we should have empathy because we, if we have children, have all been where Marie is, whether she's using it for a PR tactic or not. We have all woken up and said, oh my gosh, how am I going to keep up with all these miniature humans that I either created or collected and now live with me? Like, what was I thinking and how am I going to make it through? And you just have to make it through. Like, you are going to have toys on your floor if you have children under the age of 5. And really, your house is never going to be picked up to the way you want it to be picked up until you're an empty nester. And then when you get over the joy of that for a couple weeks, you're like, I wonder what the kids are doing. It's just part of being a parent. Like, you want to have the house that looks clean and picked up, but also you like the people. So, I mean, it's a give and take. So, yes. The very first book that I ever published, The Mindset of Organization, where I talked about there are phases of life and you need different organization in different phases of life, Marie Kondo is realizing she's moved into her third phase of life and it is going to require different organization. Now, she is still going to be very organized and she is still going to be a minimalist. None of that is going to change. And this is literally a life experience that she's having that she's sharing with the world for PR reasons. As she will get through this very, very quickly, and I would guess she's already through it. She is just using it for the growth of her company, which is fine. Fine. And it makes all of us who are already experiencing living with multiple kids or living in our late 30s, 40s, 50s, we feel more normal. We feel heard. We feel like, oh, great. Even the most organized person we know had a blip when they moved from their 20s and early 30s into their late 30s and 40s because we all do. There's no one that is getting through turning 40 unscathed because it is a rite of passage. It is a time where you need to look back on the 2 decades you've been an adult outside of your childhood home and the 2 decades that you were a human inside of your childhood home of origin. And you say, okay, with all of that history, with all that personal history, both being a child and being an adult, now, what do I want to do for the next 20 years? Because we're going to live a long time, the Lord willing. We are going to live a long, long, long time. And we have a lot of capacity and we have a lot of ability to continue to grow and do and be and have and reinvent ourselves. Benjamin Franklin had 4 completely different professions because he lived to be in his 80s. Like, he is like a miracle man. Like, what he was able to do is amazing in the age in which he lived in. And yet we all have that opportunity. We all have that opportunity because we live in today's day and age where it's not as difficult for us to find information and to learn and to grow as it was when Benjamin Franklin was a boy. But he was so inquisitive, so precocious that he would put himself in situations where he would learn and he would be around people who were moving and shaking. And he was like, I can do that too. He was just such an unusual person, but he was a business owner. He was a writer. He was a statesman. He was an actual scientist. You know, Benjamin Franklin flying the kite and the electricity went down the kite and it hit a metal key. That is what scientists were doing in France, in England, in the United States. And Benjamin Franklin was one of those scientists. How do you take a writer and make them an actual scientist who invents things. We can do that. We can be anything we want, anytime we want. You can have multiple careers. And by multiple careers, I mean not just that you are going to continue to move up in one company or take the skill set you have in one company and go to another company and be paid more for the same skill set. I'm saying we can have multiple careers. Already in my life, at the age of 50, I have been a teacher in schools. I have been a stay-at-home parent. I have been a business owner, and I'm working on becoming a researcher. And the cool thing is, we can actually add on careers and not give up the previous careers. So it's not like I'm not a parent now that I'm a business owner. And it's like I'm not going to not be a business owner when I become a researcher. I'm just going to have a research arm of Organize 365. But it will probably be a separate entity because it will have different kinds of employees. Just like even in Organize 365, we have a warehouse and we have office. And I remember making the distinction that we would have warehouse staff and we would have office staff because there are two different kinds of employees. It's actually in the same entity. Like I didn't divide it out into a different entity. But we did spend about 6 months trying to figure out if we were going to have a 3PL, which is a third-party logistics supplier, where the Organized 365 inventory wouldn't actually be on site. It would be somewhere else, and they would fulfill all of your orders and ship them out. And many, many, many online companies do this because it is a lot of, well, you need a lot of square footage to have a warehouse, and then you have to staff the warehouse, and then you have to have all the equipment to move all the stuff around, and then you have to have all the shipping. Like, we're running two different companies over here. We're running a logistics fulfillment company, and then we're running the online blog podcast education company, but we're doing them both inside of the same company. I wouldn't have to do it, but that's what I decided to do. And so we are able to add on. We are able to do yes and. We don't have to do either or anymore. We could do yes and, which is so exciting. And so I guess the thing I wanted to leave you with is yes. Marie Kondo has given up the ghost. She's going to let a few toys be on the floor when the kids are playing, but I guarantee you they have baskets and they're being put away. And just know you are always being marketed to. The fact that this news spread faster than anything else that you've experienced is not an accident. And Marie's store of things that she is selling for the minimalist lifestyle is a lot of things because she has a consumer-based brand. It's really hard to monetize a decluttering brand. If you're getting rid of everything, then what would you buy? So it's marketing. The message is purely marketing. Everything is marketing. The news is marketing. The news is marketing you fear. Like everything you see on social media, everything you see in the news, everything that you hear about, and all of a sudden you hear it everywhere, there's an underlying message behind it. Just make sure that you're looking below the surface level of these messages as to what is true. Doesn't mean minimalism doesn't work. Minimalism totally works, but it's not for everyone. And minimalism is as much a way of living as it is a design aesthetic, and you need to pull those two apart. So for me, yeah, I probably am a minimalist because everything I have in my house, I love. But I don't have the design aesthetic of a minimalist because I love a lot of things and I'm multi-passionate. All right, there you go.